From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up at Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Among the impacts of the recent Postal Service upheaval is the right to vote of jailed Americans. At any given time, there are hundreds of thousands of Americans held in pre-trial detention in county jails across the country. And during election season, those Americans are still eligible to vote. Now, ahead of an election where the incumbent has already promised to contest results he does not like, one group in Houston, Texas, is working to ensure that in spite of Postal Service cutbacks, jailed inmates know their rights and have access to the ballot. My guest is Durell Douglas, founder and president of Houston Justice. Welcome to the program, Durell.
Thank you for having me.
So I mentioned hundreds of thousands, but how do we, you know, what is the number in general? These are county jails across the country where people who are arrested, may not be out on bail, are held until they are at trial. And we know in this country we're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. And therefore, all of the rights that we have in terms of the right to vote should be preserved. So how big is this population?
According to the Sentencing Project's latest report, they took a snapshot of 2017, and there were over 740,000 people in county jails across the United States, roughly 400,000 of them likely eligible to vote because they're in pretrial detention.
And so about half of them eligible to vote. What about the other half?
You have another half that's either on paper, maybe they're on probation or parole in addition to their latest charge. But in places like Harris County or Dallas County in Texas, Los Angeles County and Cook County in Chicago, you have upwards of 75% of those who happen to be behind bars that are merely there for pretrial detention, not because they've been sentenced, not because they're there because of a felony, and not being held before they move on to prison.
And of course, because our criminal justice system, our policing, we know has been documented over and over again to basically be racially biased, I imagine that this population is disproportionately Black and brown.
Overwhelmingly Black and brown. Oftentimes, I actually used to work for the Texas prison system for 5 years, and going to work every day was very similar to walking up and down the streets in the neighborhood that I grew up in or going to a family reunion. And when you really look at the layers of the system and you really look at, the stories that I would hear while working at the prison, meeting the families and hearing the stories of the people who are incarcerated, you see that this is kind of by design. And very similar to the disproportionality that exists in jails, it's the same way in prison, and it's something that we definitely need to address.
So I imagine that voting by mail is one of the main ways in which jailed inmates who are eligible to vote can cast their ballots. I mean, don't counties arrange for ballot access inside jails?
Not actually. In a lot of the counties, they're actually using the United States Postal Service. And one note that's very interesting that everybody should take note of, when you're looking at the communication between the U.S. Department of Mail, the U.S. Postal Service, that's just one part of this equation. When the piece of mail actually gets to a jail or to a prison unit, there's an entirely different a process that can add up to a week or more of additional time that it takes for someone who happens to be incarcerated to get their mail or before it actually reaches the point where it can go out. So when you look at something as important as a voting, where the deadlines are concrete, it can have a huge impact on their franchise.
In past elections, would it be fair to say that most jailed inmates are disenfranchised or, you know, because these Postal Service attacks have been more recent, that they have had better access to the ballot?
I think with everything that's going on with the Postal Service, I think it adds even more of a hurdle to jump over. But most of the counties that we're talking to, the overwhelming majority of them do not have a mechanism in place to allow those who are incarcerated to vote. You have to think, you can end up in jail over a part over a traffic ticket that you just didn't pay or because you couldn't afford it, that turned into a warrant, and now you have people who are behind bars and unable to vote.
And of course, this also ensures that the people who are jailed are disproportionately low income. So let's talk about how the process could work. I imagine that there's people who are in jail who are registered to vote, but maybe registered to their home address, and also people who just have not been registered to vote, right?
Absolutely. So the way we do it in Harris County, we have a county clerk, County Clerk Chris
Hollins. And this is Harris County, Texas, where you reside. Yeah. So the Harris County Jail is where you've brought this project.
Absolutely. And our county sheriff, Ed Gonzalez, is very open to doing whatever's necessary in order for those who are incarcerated in order to get the ballot. But it didn't start that way, right? When we started, there wasn't a mechanism. And the way it works in Harris County, we actually take volunteers behind bars to do this voter registration. So you have citizens that are registering the same way they would in the parking lot of a Walmart or a Target. And they're also given the opportunity to apply for a ballot by mail or an absentee ballot. Some counties call it different things in different places.
Do you find that a lot of folks don't even know that they have the right to vote while they're in jail?
Absolutely. The overwhelming majority of people, when they found out that we're there to register them to vote, it's a kind of shocking thing. Mm-hmm. We've actually teamed up with Bun B and Trey, rapper Trey the Truth, and we did these PSAs that we have running on social media and actually inside the jail to tell people, hey, just because you happen to be incarcerated doesn't mean that you've lost your right to vote, and tell them the steps that they need to take in order to make sure that that happens.
What level of eagerness is there that you've seen for people to exercise their right to vote?
We've been doing this since 2018, and I will say this year, there's been an extreme uptick in enthusiasm and charisma from those behind bars ready to vote. We actually, not only do we do voter registration, we also do, we bring applications for the ballot by mail, the absentee ballot. And this year, in 2018, for the runoff, our primary runoff, we had more requests than we've had in any of the elections leading up to this. So
this is the Texas primary?
The Texas primary in March. So the runoff, not the actual primary itself, the runoff.
Ah, okay.
Exactly. And so, and here recently, as we've gone into the Harris County Jail, there's been a huge uptick in people making those requests. And people are on the edge of their seats to vote, even though they happen to be behind bars right now.
So what are the ways in which the Postal Service upheavals could impact the right to vote for jailed inmates? You mentioned that that you have to add an extra week in there, and you know, but things are rapidly changing because of the pandemic. Some states have changed the start time for voting. There's a lot of early voting going on. Some states are doing, you know, sending everybody a ballot by mail, regardless of whether they request one. So it's complicated depending upon where you live, state by state, even county by county, it can be difficult. So what are your fears about how Postal Service upheavals could disenfranchise inmates?
Even when the everyday American who's not behind bars has to fill out an absentee ballot, it's not a very cut and dry, simple thing. It's very complicated, and there are multiple parts on that application, no matter what state or what county you're in, that make it sort of a thing that you're not sure of. So when you add to the fact that someone behind bars can't pick up the phone and call their county to make sure that something was received, mm-hmm. or they can't call and ask a question really quickly about a section on that document, it really adds to the turnaround time. And so with these deadlines being absolutely concrete and unable to be changed, I'm pretty sure we're going to run into a system, unfortunately, where those who are behind bars will fill out these applications to the best of their ability. they'll mess up one part or one section, it'll get kicked back to them, but they won't receive it in time to make those corrections and turn them in, or they'll be kicked back and they won't get a response and they won't get their ballot in time to vote. So that's something that we're really being forward about, and we're really doing the extra work to make sure that those things happen.
And we know that there are so many cases, like here in the state of California, where election staffers, poll workers might just throw out hundreds or thousands of ballots because the signature didn't match. And of course, they're not handwriting analysis experts. And so imagine that that is also a problem for jailed inmates who don't have any other choice other than to use the postal service to mail in their ballot.
Absolutely. And then you run into situations where when in a place like Chicago, Cook County, or in Harris County Jail has 10,000 people, you run into a situation where John Doe is getting his ballot, but there are four John Does on that at that jail.
Oh,
and so
wow,
that's
right.
A problem that you could potentially run into. And maybe the mail person decides to send it to the one that they think it is. It goes to him, it gets kicked back. Meanwhile, the real John Doe, who that was belonging to, is still thinking that it hasn't gotten to him because he's used to waiting longer for his mail to arrive.
Wow.
He finally reaches the point where he's sure that he hasn't received it, and he's trying to reach out, and it's too late because there's no way for him to vote.
Right. I mean, generally, for those among us who are not incarcerated, you wouldn't have two people by the same name necessarily at the same address. Why can't big jail systems like the ones you've cited simply bring in voting, ballot machines into jails?
Absolutely. So that's something that we were actually talking about literally 1 week before quarantine hit. We were actually having conversations with the clerk's office, with the sheriff's office about what this might look like. Initially, one of the pushbacks was you can't have ballots, or you can't have a polling location that is exclusive. And if you have a polling location that's in a jail, it's at a place that the general public can't go. The example that the clerk gave at the time, it was Diane Troutman, the example she gave was if the country club were to have a polling location there, people would be in the streets. And I agree, I would definitely be in the street if the country club had a polling location that was exclusive to them. But there are creative ways that counties can make this happen. One of the ways that Harris County, Houston, Texas, is looking to do it is we know that often people who are in jail end up going back and forth to court. And there's usually some type of tunnel system that is accessed by those who are in jail and being escorted by your sheriffs or your sheriff's deputies to court and back, and that would be the perfect place to do it. So in places where there's not currently a polling location, that's one of the options that's been looked at, and it's definitely being looked at in Harris County. And we're doing all that we can to make sure that for the 2020 election, that's something that happens. Because you look at the numbers in states like Michigan, where the vote total was decided by a mere 10,000 votes amongst the millions who voted, you have 10,000 people in the jail in Harris County. So we want to make sure that every single ballot is counted and everyone who's eligible to vote actually has that opportunity.
The example you cited about you can't have a ballot or voting machines in a country club seems quite disingenuous. I mean, people who go to a country club are there by choice. People who are in jail are not there by choice. They have no other option than to reside at the county jail, if you will. So that just seems a loophole. And I want to get to this issue of the reluctance of officials to ensure that incarcerated people, don't lose their right to vote. We know, for example, for years, there's been efforts in states like Florida to allow felons the right to vote, because once you're convicted of a felony, in most states around the country, you lose your right to vote. In Florida, there was a ballot measure, voters approved it, the Republican legislature has overturned it, it's gone to court, the court has sided with state officials, and it's just remarkable. Have you seen a similar reluctance to allow jailed inmates, whose right to vote is not in question, also see that pushback against allowing them to vote?
Absolutely. We've reached out to different counties in Texas. And one of the things that I found just astonishing, I was on the phone with an actual elected sheriff of a county that I will not mention because, you know, who knows, but they're on the phone with an actual sheriff who said they're really short-staffed and they've cut out other programs like the Volunteer Bible Study Group. And he went down this list of elected programs and said he just doesn't have the capacity to make something like this work at his facility. And, you know, my response was, it's the law. You can't make that decision.
It's not optional to give people the right to vote.
Absolutely. It's not art club. Like, this is you are an elected official and you can't just say, you can't opt out. And so we're going to do all that we can to sort of identify where those situations are happening and make sure that something happens.
So outside of Harris County, what about nationwide? You mentioned Cook County Jail in Chicago, Men's Central Jail in Los Angeles, and of course, there's jails all over the country where there's likely people who are, you know, being disenfranchised unless there is an organization like yours or the Sentencing Project to help them through the process. Are there groups, and why should it be left to organizations like yours to do this work? You would imagine that this should be something that the counties in question take it upon themselves to ensure.
Absolutely. In a perfect world, our project wouldn't exist. In a perfect world, volunteers wouldn't be necessary to make sure that this happens. Next Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, there's going to be a conversation online. It's going to be a Zoom webinar hosted by the Sentencing Project, where those who are on the ground, I know the League of Women Voters in Washington, D.C. is working on this. There are organizations in Michigan and Wisconsin and Arizona and in a lot of places where people are paying a whole lot of attention to polls right now in order to make sure that we are looking at what best practices are. And we're sort of rolling into this election season as equipped as possible to make sure that as many people as possible are able to submit their ballot.
Do you find that family members of those who are jailed are eager to volunteer?
Absolutely. Not only family members of those that are incarcerated, ready to volunteer, but I was on a panel yesterday hosted by the Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority. And of the three panelists that were there, one guy randomly, and this just happened by happenstance, he asked me if I had ever worked on the central unit in Sugar Land. And I said, yes. He said he was on the unit when I was a sergeant at the central unit in Sugar Land, Texas. And he's now on the battlefield doing this. So you have people who are formerly incarcerated, you have their family members, and you have advocates in the community that are very eager to make this happen.
And as you said earlier, the margins of votes can be razor thin. It's not just a presidential race. Of course, there are congressional races, Senate races, city council races, state legislature races, judicial races. There are so many races up and down the ballot, local ballots in particular, and measures and propositions where just a few votes can make a difference. So how do people get involved if they are interested in helping out? Maybe they don't have a personal connection to someone who's incarcerated or maybe themselves haven't been, but they just feel that this is an important issue because there's a lot of get out the vote efforts happening around the country right now. And given how eager this population is to vote, I imagine this is a wonderful opportunity for Get Out the Vote activists to register them.
Absolutely. I would say go to the sentencingproject.org, join their mailing list. A lot of groups are sort of resorting to this pen pal system in order to not only register and make sure that absentee ballots are happening, but we can't knock on doors in this COVID quarantine that we're in. And people who are incarcerated, you can't really call them or text them. So people are going old school and they're pulling out their pens and paper and they're hopping on their computers and they're writing letters to talk to those who are incarcerated about voting and making sure that if they do qualify, that they are able to vote, but also having the conversations about the issues that are often interesting to those who happen to be incarcerated.
And you mentioned, of course, because of the pandemic, things are different now. What are the, for those who do volunteer in person, I imagine that there's a lot of precautions being taken because people are scared of, and jails and prisons are not the most conducive to social distancing, and inmates are very vulnerable to the disease.
Absolutely. So in Harris County, we're following the CDC guidelines. Everyone is masked up. People are wearing gloves and we're keeping that safe distance. It is a little awkward to stand in front of a dormitory and yell with your mask on, but if you enunciate, people can hear you. And so this is a very important race and we're practicing social distancing, but we're going in and we're making it happen. And in counties across the United States, there are people just like what doing just like what we're doing in Harris County.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Dora, for joining us today. Give out the website for Houston Justice.
HoustonJustice.org is the website for Houston Justice. Look forward to your listeners and viewers logging on.
And you had mentioned earlier the Sentencing Project. They're online at sentencingproject.org. We'll link to both websites from our site later today. Thank you so much, Darrell, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
My guest has been Darrell Douglas, founder and president of Houston Justice. We've been discussing efforts to register jailed voters and get them access to the ballot at election time. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.